What is up, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency lovers? You're listening to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is November the 6th of 2018. This is episode number 45. So I saw some very scary news today about something that we use at my job, and I was very upset to see that this was so poorly done by Microsoft and solid-state drive manufacturers. But we're going to talk about BitLocker a little bit. Also going to talk about what Amazon is doing with facial recognition software. We're going to touch on some Instagram and Facebook accounts that were shut down. Why? And we're also going to talk about Bitmain and their new chip they're going to release for Bitcoin mining. And more stuff in crypto. Also going to talk about the recent changes in the market as it relates to Bitcoin short sales. So, to kick things off here, this one is extremely irritating and disappointing. You know, when you were a kid and your parents said, "We're very disappointed in you." This is how I feel about Microsoft right now. You knew your parents were pissed when they told you that they were disappointed in you. Well, I am extremely disappointed in Microsoft and pretty much all solid-state hard drive manufacturers. So there's an article that came out today. Some researchers found that even if you have BitLocker encryption turned on and you're using a solid-state hard drive, so here's the caveat, it's got to be a solid-state drive, and you're using BitLocker, and you don't have your GPO configured correctly, here's what happens. And by default, it's misconfigured. So the solid-state drive manufacturers claim that the drives have hardware-based encryption. So what BitLocker does is it relies solely on the hardware encryption of the SSD, solid-state drive. So what does that mean? Well, essentially, they're relying on the security of the hard drive manufacturer, the solid-state drive manufacturer. There was one of these manufacturers that set the master password to absolutely nothing at all. It was completely blank, which totally defeats the purpose of even encrypting your hard drive. What in the hell? And they found this with numerous other manufacturers, Samsung, Crucial, tons of others. And these are all SSDs, keep in mind. But, you know, any, you know, fairly new laptop has got a solid-state drive in it. And if you're at a company that has encryption, you're probably using BitLocker because it's, you know, free and it comes with Windows built in. But this is beyond infuriating. And there is a fix for it, thankfully. You can go into your GPO and tell it not to use hardware-based encryption, that you can force it basically to only use software-based encryption. So if you use BitLocker and you've got it set up with a GPO, now is your time to go and review that GPO and make sure that your GPO is set to only use software-based encryption. Because if not, and you're using solid-state drives on the computers that you're encrypting, it's very likely that the encryption can be broken. Several of these had, like I said, the no password thing. And essentially with no password, what they were able to do is get your encryption keys and just decrypt the entire drive. Because there's no password. You can just get right in. So Microsoft kind of washes its hands of any and all responsibility if you don't configure this software-only based encryption. Now, I haven't gone and done this yet. As I was walking out the door at work today, I was thumbing through Twitter and I found this, and I'm just infuriated that this would happen. And why? Why would this? I don't know. I got so many questions and not enough answers, and I probably won't get the answers that I want to hear. But the end game here is that if you're using BitLocker, we got to review that stuff, especially with solid-state drives. They're probably vulnerable. Turn on that software-based encryption instead of the hardware-based encryption, and let's hope that that doesn't degrade performance. I guess that's my only really concern here is, in most cases, the hardware-based encryption is typically a little bit faster, but, you know, we're going to flip it to software-based. I mean, what's that going to do for performance? And I also don't know if you have to decrypt and re-encrypt the whole drive again. I don't know. I don't know all the details there. I haven't done it yet. But that's certainly disappointing and very scary to think about. Now, obviously, to exploit this, you'd have to have physical access to whatever system it is, and you'd have to pull out the drive and plug it into an adapter and then plug that into another computer and try to read from it and, you know, all those lovely things. But nonetheless, I mean, this is still just such a no-brainer. Like, why would you leave passwords blank? This is 2018, people. Why are we leaving a password blank? Ay, ay, ay. But bear in mind, it does only affect solid-state drives. It also does not affect Windows 7. This is Windows 10 that is affected by this. So apparently this is some sort of new feature, quote-unquote, in Windows 10. We do the hardware-based encryption, and Microsoft basically absolves itself of any risk or liability whatsoever, and they say, nope, it's handled by your hardware. We don't encrypt that. It's handled by your hardware. Well, you got to go into that GPO and make sure that you've got it set to software-based encryption only. So anyway, very irritating and very frustrating, but I'm glad that somebody found it because we certainly had our GPO configured wrong. And, you know, all we did was set it up with the defaults, essentially. So by default, the GPO is making you vulnerable. So I haven't heard anything from Microsoft on this or any of these other vendors. And frankly, I don't really want to. I just want to fix it and move on with my life. But that's just really, really sad to see that in this day and age, we're still not using a password on things that need passwords. I mean, it's so basic. I just don't get it. Anyway, in other topics here, I also wanted to touch real quick, too, on vulnerabilities in general. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about, you know, what a vulnerability is and whether or not that vulnerability is actually exploitable. That right there, the word exploitable, that is the key word of that vulnerability. Is it exploitable? So you can have a vulnerability that's not exploitable. All right. A lot of these lower level, like SSL attacks and you know, even the lower versions of TLS types of attacks, they don't have any sort of exploit code. There's no exploits that you can run. So while, yes, it's still vulnerable because somebody broke the encryption, there's no exploit you can run. At least nothing that's published anyway. So when the boss man comes by and says, why didn't you patch all these vulnerabilities? This is the hardest thing to communicate to them is say, hey, look, I'd love to patch all these, but I'm patching the ones that are exploitable first because those are the ones that people can actually hack. So keep that in mind, too, when you're talking to your boss. I had that conversation today with a few of the higher-ups, and they were wondering why we weren't patching all of these vulnerabilities. And it got into a pretty long and drawn-out discussion, only really to come to the conclusion that if it's not exploitable, why should I put that at the top of my priority list? I've got, you know, 1,000-some-odd computers I've got to patch. Why would I worry about, you know, little TLS vulnerabilities that are not exploitable? I'm not. Now, you may have some compatibility issues, specifically like with TLS. If you don't turn off the old versions and only use the new versions, certain things may not work right, all those wonderful things. But nonetheless, there are no exploits for those. And so why would I prioritize my patching list based on something that's not exploitable? This also goes to, you know, any sort of regulated entities, you know, banks, for example, come to mind, healthcare, anything like that that's heavily regulated. When those regulators come in, they're auditors by nature, and they have no idea what even IT is half the time. And it's like speaking Greek to them. They know enough to be dangerous, but they don't really understand. So hopefully that's something that people can tell regulators as well and say, hey, look, these vulnerabilities, and show them a report from, you know, one of the big vulnerability sites, like one of the CVE sites, the primary CVE site. You can go out there and it'll say whether or not it's exploitable. You can say, hey, look, we didn't patch these because right here on the CVE website, it says it's not exploitable. And, you know, because regulators just love to come in and point fingers and say, oh, yeah, I got you there. Oh, yep, I got you there too. Oh, you didn't patch every little thing. I got you there. So hopefully it gives people some ammunition to fire back and say, here's why we didn't patch. And here's why we didn't fix that. We have bigger fish to fry. And this is small potatoes, buddy. Anyway, on to other news. Amazon employees are apparently very upset with Mr. Bezos, or Bezos, or however the hell you say his name, they are calling all these meetings and whatnot because they're upset that Amazon sold facial recognition software to law enforcement. I think that's weird that they'd be upset about that, I guess, and I guess I don't understand the premise there. It's probably a privacy thing, all the privacy Nazis and whatnot. I get that part of it. But what else were they so upset about? I mean, Amazon's making money hand over fist. They've got some of the best engineers around. Why would they not create new technologies and sell it? Who cares if they're selling it to law enforcement? What's the problem with catching the bad guys? Is that so wrong? I don't know. I find that interesting, too, that people want to revolt over something like that. Are they trying to skate out of, you know, not getting caught? Or is it simply the fact that it's a privacy deal and they don't want, you know, cameras on every street corner scanning their face and everybody knowing where they were, you know, at every moment of the day? So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. I'm not really sure which side I would fall on either. I guess I could go probably more towards the privacy side, because that's very Big Brother-ish if, you know, the law enforcement folks are going to use this to put on every camera on the street and start tracking people's movements that way. That's not okay. But if they're using it like at the DMV or when they pull you over or something, you know, who cares? Who cares, right? I mean, the cops just want to do their job and get on with life. And people lie about their identity all the time. So this might help some of them. So there's pros and cons either way. But I did find that funny that the employees of Amazon are also not happy about this. Some other news about Facebook / Instagram. They took down a whole bunch more accounts that they said were invalid or essentially spreading fake news kind of accounts. And they shut all these down prior to these elections, so that's good to see. It wasn't a huge number of accounts that they shut down, but hey, you know, it's better than none, I guess. But there's only news about Facebook doing this. I didn't see a whole lot about Twitter doing the same thing. But every time you get on Facebook now, it's stickers, especially right around the voting time. There's stickers of everybody with their "I voted" stickers. You know, all right, that's great. We don't need to post it all over Facebook. You don't need to tell people to go vote on Facebook. It gets really annoying. But anyway, I'll post all these articles too, by the way. I'll post them to the show notes so you guys can see those. On to some cryptocurrency news. Bitmain is one of the largest manufacturers of Bitcoin mining equipment. They're called ASIC miners, if you're not familiar with those. They are a special processor designed specifically to mine for the Bitcoin algorithm and nothing else. It's literally pointless to use it for anything else. So it'll mine for the Bitcoin algo, and that's about all it's good for, but it's extremely efficient at mining that Bitcoin algorithm. So they are releasing a newer, better, faster 7-nanometer processor for their new ASIC miners. These will be coming out in the next few months. If you're one of the folks that tries to buy these, you got to buy them from overseas, and typically you got to pay in Bitcoin way in advance, and if you're going to have them sent to the U.S., it typically takes at least a month to get to you. And there is the drawback. You know, Bitmain is located, of course, overseas, and to get anything shipped in from China is, you know, especially anywhere near holiday time, is crazy, and it's going to take forever, right? This is no different, and that makes it hard for anybody in the United States if they are trying to also mine for Bitcoin, and everybody else gets their hands on this equipment 30 days before they do. Well, that means those other folks are that much further ahead of them. So I have heard stories of people, they'll fly over there and they'll take suitcases full of these ant miners back and ASIC miners back to the United States to set up their mining farms with, rather than waiting on all the shipping delays and whatnot from China. Because it's got to go through customs on the China side and on the U.S. side, and it just takes forever. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. That's a pretty thin processor, 7 nanometers, really small. So I did find that interesting as well. They keep moving that needle forward, too, as far as Bitcoin mining goes. So in other news about Bitcoin specifically, today on the markets, today was the essentially the Bitcoin short positions fell to their lowest since early August. So people are doing those short sells. So they're just trying to dump it, essentially. So they're basically saying here that those short sells are at their lowest. So nobody is doing their short sells right now, which is actually a good indicator. That means that people are actually holding on to Bitcoin, at least for now. We'll see if that changes. But I did find that kind of interesting, too. Bitcoin's been kind of hanging around the same price. It's been very steady lately. Right now it's at $64.37. Bitcoin Cash is at 622. Ethereum's up to 218. And let's see, Ethereum Classic is at $9.95. Litecoin is at $55.45. Your 0x token is at 76 cents. So I still don't see the BAT token on here yet, but I got my eyes peeled for that too, so that'll be cool when that comes. All right, folks, that's all I have for today. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. Hit me up on there. Also want to thank our sponsors, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company, for all your T-shirt needs. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Go check them out, too. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.